folks. Good morning. We're glad you're here. And I'm excited this morning about what God is going to do in our service today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. If you're looking around and you see a bunch of folks with name tags on, it's because this weekend we had a couples communication weekend, and we had somewhere around 185 to 190 couples who are here this weekend, and we just praise the Lord. Amen. You can do that. It's okay. And we have straightened most of these husbands out. There's a few that's going to take a little more time, so be patient with us. And we want to encourage you tonight. We're going to come back at 5 o'clock. Now, at 5 o'clock, we're going to finish up our couples weekend. And tonight, it's how do you resolve conflict in the home? You're going to have conflict. There's a woman there. You're going to have conflict. Men live together for years, never have conflict. Move one woman in, conflict. So, we're going to have conflict. How can y'all have teenagers? Instant conflict. You're going to have it. So, you might as well come back and learn how to deal with it. Amen? Now, at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about how to resolve conflict. And then, we're going to talk about how you have a fair fight. Because you're going to fight. I want to teach you how to have a fair fight. You're going to have them. Let's make the rules and let's have a fair fight. Now, at 6:15, we're going to come back. David will sing one song, and then I'm going to do a little mini concert tonight. And people that hear me preach just really love my singing. And so I'm going to sing a little bit tonight, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God tonight. And tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled, I've Lost That Loving Feeling. I'm going to show you how it happened. I'm going to show you how to get it back. Because you say, I love you, but I have no feeling love for you. I'm going to show you how it happened. I'm going to show you how to get it back. Now, Brother Eric, we weren't here for the couples weekend. Can we still come at 5 o'clock? Yes. I want you to come. If you've not been here, this is open for all adults tonight. Leave the kids in the nursery. There's nursery provided. They're going to be in there from 5 o'clock on. We'll be fine. It's all taken care of. But if you've not been here for the couples weekend, we want to encourage you to come back. And to hear the last part, I'll do a little 15-minute recap at the beginning of the couple's time for all of you who missed so that you can come back and kind of catch up with where we are. So, at 5 o'clock, what time are we meeting? 5 o'clock. We're on Oklahoma time now, so all you Texans, I mean 5 o'clock. We're starting at 5 o'clock. So, let's get here at 5 o'clock. Also, I want to introduce some friends. Matt and Mylon McKinney are sitting down here in the front row next to Lynette. And I've known Matt since he was this big. And as a matter of fact, Matt has just moved here to Keller, Texas, and so I want you to come by at the end of the service and say hi to him and let him know what a great church this is so he'll come back. Amen. Now, also, Matt, his daddy, is the guy who led me to the Lord. And so we have some family ties here. But the best thing I want to tell you about Matt is when he was about 1 year old, I used to go over and babysit him, and he used to suck his thumb and hold my earlobe. That's why one's longer than the other. So we've watched Matt grow up, and Matt and Miley are just two great folks, and you're going to love meeting them, and they love the Lord. And so I want you to come by at the end of the service and make sure you say hi and make them feel at home. Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and you eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you did not plant. Let me stop there for a minute. Here's what he's saying. Everything you got, you've got because I gave it to you. There is nothing you've got on your own. It's because I have chosen to bless you. And I know whether you're from Podunk, Oklahoma, or Grapevine, Texas, everything in this congregation that you have because God has simply chosen to be a blessing to you in your life. There are no self-made men in this world. God has given you everything that you have. The Bible goes on to say, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness and throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. I want to stop there for a minute. What's the struggle we're facing in our nation today? What's the struggle that we face in our churches today? What's the struggle we face in our homes today? Really simple. We have lost our fear of God. We don't fear the Lord anymore. You want to be sexually active? It's just God, no big deal. Go do what you want. God will power down to what you want. You want to walk out on your mate? It's no big deal. You lay low for 3 years, you come back in another denomination, and you're teaching again. And you know something? We in the church have lost our fear of God, and our nation has lost its fear of God. And it's the same problem the children of Israel had. They lost their fear of God. And they went out living independently of God. And Joshua is drawing a line in the sand, and here's what he's saying. In this line of the sand, you're going to have to make a decision who you're following. Because he goes on to say this. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Say that with me. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Say it again. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That has got to become more than just something you've got cross-stitched hanging in your living room somewhere. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, in our lifetime, I figure we probably have about 5 good friends. 5. Matt and I have a friend. His name was David Moss. And David Moss was the district attorney in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 11 years. David Moss, in 11 years as district attorney, lost one case because David Moss was a man of God who walked with God, and he was probably as much like Jesus Christ as any person we've ever met. And David Moss had a tremendous walk with God. Now, as district attorney one time, I got called to jury duty. And I went down there, and I got picked into the pool of 24, and they're going to pick 12 from the 24. And so they're in there. David wasn't trying to case one of his assistants were. But they said, the judge said, is there any reason why anyone can't serve in this jury? And he said, and he looked at the cards, and he said, Reverend Layden? I said, yes, sir. Heavy on the reverend, please. And he didn't think that was funny either. So, and he said, you can't serve in this jury? I said, no, sir, I don't believe I can. And he said, well, why? You can't listen to the facts and render a fair and impartial verdict in this case? I said, oh, I can do that easy. But if David Moss has that guy down here, he's guilty, because David would never bring this guy in here if he was innocent. Now, after he cleared the courtroom and everyone left, he and I had a chat. 6 years ago, David Moss came home from church. He mowed the lawn for about 5 minutes. He came back inside, put some soup on the stove, sat down, and had a massive heart attack and would be dead in 5 minutes. Now, David Moss, he ran about 5 miles a week. He was 47 years old. He was in great physical condition. I was 47 years old. I ran once. Wasn't what it was cracked up to be. I never tried it again. So I decided I would go down after David died, because he died from a heart attack. I decided I would go down and get a stress test. And I studied all night. I got down there to take this stress test. I walked in there, got on the thing, and she said, your heart's fine. It's small. It's hard. But you do have one. And so they took the stress test, and as they took the stress test, she looked at me, she goes, aren't you a minister over at Eastwood? And at that time, I was on staff at Eastwood. I said, that's right. And she said, did you know David Moss? And I said, yes, ma'am, I did. He was one of my closest friends. And she goes, you know, you're about the 5th minister that's been down here since he's gone. He was 47. I was 47. He ran. I eat chocolate cake. And so I went down to have this stress test. I found out something after that stress test. Did you know heart disease is the leading cause of death in America? I didn't know that. I thought the leading cause of death in America was driving down Highway 114 going to work on a Monday morning, and there's a woman putting makeup on in her car. That was the leading cause of death in America. If you're driving down 114 and you see this, pull over, you're going to die. Heart disease. Every day, thousands of balloons and bypasses are done to fix damage and dysfunctional heart. But there's a heart disease today, people, that's under the watchful care of God. And this heart disease is not going to be cured with any bypass or any surgery or any transplant. This heart disease is found in the last place you would ever expect to find it. This heart disease is found in the Christian home. And the Christian home today is under attack. Not just from without, we would expect that. The Christian home today is under attack from within. And inside our homes today, there is an attack going on an onslaught by the enemy of God and by the people of God, and it's bringing the house down. And if we don't pay attention to what God wants to say to us today, if we don't pay attention tonight and this morning, we may miss what God's trying to teach us, not only as a church, but as a people, of where we need to be in our homes today. I want to share a verse with you. Psalms 139 says, "Then search me, O God, thoroughly, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do you know what the psalmist is praying here? Here's what he's saying. Hey, God, I want you to take a look inside of me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. God, try my mind and know my thoughts. And hey, God, if you see anything in me that is not Christ-like, change it. Paraphrase. Look inside my heart, God, and show me what you see about me. And if what you see about me doesn't match up with who you are, then hey, God, you change me. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you in the heart of the home. There are five hindrances to your home, and then we're going to talk about how to have hope for your home, and then we're going to talk about how to have some healing for your home. So listen fast. There are five hindrances. Here's the first one. It's what I want to call blockage. Now, when a major heart attack happens, blockage happens, and the blood cannot flow freely through our lives and through our hearts. There is a blockage that's happening in our lives today, folks, and it's not a blood condition. Watch it now. Are you listening? It's a sin condition. And this blockage is coming into our life because it gets down to this. In our homes today, we've not only lost our fear of God, sin in our homes has become the normal fare, the normal way we live. I got a sermon. I've never preached it. It's sitting home in my sermon never preached file. The title of it is, "Whatever Happened to Sin?" Nothing's a sin. Everything's okay. It's an alternative lifestyle. No, it's sin. It's an affair. No, it's still sin. But we've got to call it what it is. And you say, "Well, Brother Harry, how is this happening in our lives?" And we see it in the life of Israel. Number one, it comes because of departing hearts. Get this. God blesses Israel. Israel turns their back on God. God corrects Israel. Israel repents and returns to God. God blesses Israel. Israel turns their back on God. God corrects Israel. Israel repents. Do you see it? We're them. Folks, look at me. We're them. It's not the adversity of life that we don't handle well. We know what to do when we have adversity. What do, David? We crawl on our belly like a reptile and run back to God and hope that he'll give us some mercy. But it's the blessings of God that cause us to turn our heart. Every time God blessed Israel, they would turn their back on God. And listen, folks, this is a blessed nation. We are a blessed church. Pay attention. It's the blessings of God that will fix and hurt your home, not the adversity your home faces. And our hearts depart, and we depart from God. Here's another thing about our hearts. We have deceitful hearts. You say, "What do you mean deceitful hearts?" You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Our hearts are deceitful. And you say, "Man, how are they deceitful?" Watch. How you doing, brother? Now, I've told you before, you know why we call you brother? We don't know your name. That's why everybody has these name tags on. So, when you leave here today, take the name tag, clip it up your visor, and then put it on again next Sunday, and let's wear them for a few weeks, and let's get to meet one another. Amen. And now, watch this. We don't want to be honest. How you doing? Praise the Lord. Doing great. Yeah. Praise God. Everything's good. You know why? We're liars. I don't want God to search me. And if I don't want God to search me, certainly I don't want you searching me. I don't want you looking inside my heart. And I certainly don't want to be accountable to you. I don't want any brothers in my life to say, "Hey, how you doing with your lustful eyes today? Oh, man, I'm having a bad day." Well, then we need to pray. We certainly wouldn't want to do that, would we? See, we want to be deceitful about our own spiritual condition. And for some of us here today, are you listening? We get saved, and we're about that deep spiritually, and we're content never to go beyond that. God wants this. He doesn't want this. And now God will do whatever it takes to get you here. Now, you can go the easy way or the hard way. But here's where you're going. God doesn't want you to stay here, people. He wants you to come up. He wants you to go to the next level with God. And so we have deceitfulness. We have divided hearts. You say, what do you mean by that? We are lovers of self more than we are lovers of God. What's the goal? Tell me. The goal is Christ-likeness, but we trade that in for self-gratification. We want what we want, the way we want it, and we want to be gratified. We want self to have the throne. We want the preeminence. We don't want to be servants of God. We want to be the robe wearer. We want to be Joseph, but not Joseph in prison being a servant. We want Joseph with the robe, and we want everyone to bow down to us because we wear the robe. And we have divided hearts. Because life's not about God. Life's about me. Here's the second thing I want you to see in the hindrances. The second hindrance is what I'm going to call bad blood. Would you agree with me? AIDS has scared the bejeebers out of us. Hasn't it? Sure. I don't want to play basketball with Magic Johnson when he's bleeding. Sorry. And AIDS has scared us. We have a friend that was going to have surgery, and he was overseas, and they flew him all the way home just so he didn't have to have surgery over there because of the AIDS problems. But I want to tell you something. There's something going on in our homes today that makes AIDS look like a cold. And you say, what is that? Unforgiveness. And in our homes today, people, we don't forgive. We got daddies that won't forgive mamas and mamas that won't forgive daddies. And we have kids that won't forgive parents and parents that won't forgive kids. And we have people on this side of the church that are mad at people on that side of the church. And we got our small little cliques here at church. And as long as you stay in your clique and don't try to get in my clique, I'm okay. But listen, we have got to learn how to forgive. Would you like to be like Christ? Then the best thing you could ever do to be like Christ is not to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a good one. But the best one would be to forgive somebody. You are never more like Jesus Christ, people, when you are in the forgiving business, because he is in the forgiving business, and he wants to forgive you today. Amen. Would you like to do one godly thing? Forgive somebody. Now, when we come back to that, I'm going to camp out a little bit more on this forgiveness stuff. And I'm going to show you something tonight on forgiveness that's going to set some of you free. Absolutely free. Here's the third hindrance. It's what I call a broken heart. How many of our marriages have been broken over poor choices, extramarital affairs, lack of commitment, lack of what? Communication. And we have these broken hearts. Young people, look at my face. If you ever want to really break your parents' heart, here's what you got to do. All you got to do is turn your back on God. And when you turn your back on God, I promise you that will be the thing that will break your parents' heart more than anything else. And when our kids turn their backs on God, it's a heartbreaker, isn't it? And some of us as adults have turned our back on God. And it's breaking our parents' heart. It's breaking our children's heart. And it's breaking the parents' life. Because watch this. I taught it to you this weekend. The root cause of all sin is slothfulness. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but I may on another occasion. Slothfulness. Here's the definition. When what's important is not worth the effort. It says that the man turns on his bed, he does not go out and plant his field. When harvest time comes, he has to beg for food. So what's important isn't worth the effort. And so you know what we're saying in our homes today? You're no longer worth the effort. I don't choose to love you anymore. I don't choose to take care of you. I don't choose to honor God. I've lost my fear of God, and I don't care anymore. Life's all about me, baby, and making me happy. And so I'm hitting the bricks. Because what's important isn't worth the effort. Here's the fourth hindrance. It's what I'm going to call a bad heart. You say, what's a bad heart? It's a heart without Jesus. You might be religious. You may have a church membership somewhere. But my friend, you never got Jesus from here to here. And I've been talking about that since I've been here. We have more folks in our churches today that have the facts about Jesus, but when it push comes to shove, you've never gotten them from here to here because there's never truly been any change in your life, and life's about you. It's not about God. And I want to tell you something. If you've not gotten it from here to here, God wants to come into your heart today. He wants to forgive you of your sins today, and he wants to save you and change you. What a deal. When his daddy sat me down 26 years ago and told me I could be forgiven, I got up that night, Joe, and I said, this is the greatest deal in the world. I want in on it. And I got on my face, and I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart, and you've all heard my testimony last week, and I want you to know, he's changed me, people. He wants to change you, and he wants to change your home. But there are hindrances that's keeping this from happening. Here's the fifth hindrance. It's what I call the besieged heart. You say, what's the besieged heart? That's the heart that does really, really good as long as everything's going your way. But let some trial or tribulation come into your life and you fold like an accordion. Let a little adversity come into your life and you fold like a cheap $3 suit. Because you can only walk with God when everything's perfect and everything's good and everything's going the way you do. But let a little adversity come into your life. And I'm going to tell you, for some of your adversity is not coming from the devil. It's coming from the hand of God. You say, you're saying God will initiate adversity? Uh-huh. That's exactly what I'm saying. You say, we'll prove that in the Bible. Who initiated Job's adversity? And God said, it wasn't the devil, and God said, have you thought about my servant Job? And here's what Job said, hey, drop the wall on that Baptist, that sucker will curse you and die. He goes, right, you can do whatever you want to, and you can't kill him. So God initiated it, and he limited it. Now, all through the book of Job, how much does Job ever recognize the devil? Never. He said, and God, and God, and God, and God. And at the end of it all, what did he say? I've seen God. And when you are in the midst of adversity, it's because God has given you a tremendous opportunity to see God. But if you've got a hindrance, when your adversity comes, instead of you becoming more like Christ because of it, you fold. The first thing you do is you want to change churches. And use church smorgasbord. You're going to find one until it meets what you think church ought to be. And God may have you right where you are to break down the hindrances that are in your life that's keeping you from being like Christ. How do you have hope for your home? Because I know some of you sit here and say, well, thank you, Brother Harry, that's really neat. Well, watch it, buddy. Look at my face, Harry. There's no hope. No hope. And I'm here to tell you something. You spent very little time with God lately. Because I want to tell you something, friend. With God, there is no helpless or hopeless situations. And with God, listen to me, there are no lost causes. None. How do you have hope in your home? Here's the first thing. If you're going to have some hope in your home and you want hope, you're going to have renewed integrity. You're going to have renewed integrity. Watch this. What's integrity? Put the definition up for them. It's a firm adherence to a code of moral artistic value, incorruptibility. Here's the best part. It's a state of being complete and undivided. See honesty. Well, let's see if there's any integrity in your home. You complete, you undivided, you honest. How do you guys do that? You complete? Are we this? Are we this? Are you undivided? Is your heart and mind fixed on God together? Someone said to me one time, they said, what's the missing ingredient in our home? Easy. Integrity. We're not what we are at home, where we are in the world, where we are at church. Agreed? Then we've got to have some integrity. We've got to have some integrity in our homes today, people. We've got to become complete and undivided and honest. We saw a baptism this morning. I know for some of you it was different. We let a daddy baptize his son. What greater thrill, amen, than you coming to see your own child and baptize your own child. You know the standards for dads went up this morning? They went up this morning. Because before that day he got in the baptistry, I looked him in the eyes and I said, if you are not as right with God as you need to be, you need to tell me now and confess it, because you're not getting up there with sin in your life. There's a new standard, folks, and it's Christ-likeness. And we've got to raise the bar up for our homes today. And daddies, we're starting with you. There's no daddy who goes up into that baptistry to baptize their own child will ever be the same again, because they now see the standard. Amen, Tony? And the standard's up here now. No more let somebody else do the work. No more let somebody else be the daddy. Listen, I'm not sending my kids to Christian school to learn how to be Christians. I'm not sending them to Sunday school to learn how to be Christians. They're going to learn it in our home, because we're going to be people of integrity. And that's the way it's got to be. Now, there are four areas of integrity I want you to see. Number one, you have to have integrity in your social life. What you are at home and what you are in church, you ought to be in your social life. Now, I'm not going to camp out there, but I will at another time. But you all know what I'm talking about with your social life. Number two, you're going to have some integrity in your secular life. Don't call yourself a Christian and go off to work and not be a man of integrity. When you're at work, you ought to be a man of integrity where the world sees Jesus Christ. Don't be standing around talking at the water bubbler about the babes in your office. Don't stand around and do the things you know do not honor God so that you think you can have the approval of man. You better have some integrity in your secular life. Number three, you better have some integrity in your spiritual life. Quit pretending you're something you're not. Get to be where you ought to be. The goal is Christ-likeness. Come on up. Here's my favorite, though. You're going to have integrity through your service to God. We have a church in Tulsa where there's a guy who's been the usher of this church for 30 years. And in 30 years, I bet he's been to 7 worship services. You say, what's he do? He walks the halls. He's the church cop. He's Columbo. And he's got to walk around to make sure nobody takes anything that belongs to God. Listen, God can take care of his own stuff. Get to church. And I want to tell you, you ought to have some integrity in the way you serve. This is not your church, folks. It's God's church. Our serving here, we shouldn't call a press conference when we do it. Now, I want to stop here and make a little note. This last couple weeks, the secretaries have really stepped to the plate around here for Brother Harry to get all the work that I need to get done for this conference. And I want to tell you, all the secretaries in that office and all your staff the last 2 weeks have stepped to the plate to get this stuff done. And I applaud them for what they've done. Well, I've been here 39 years, and I want you to know I don't like the organ over there. I want the organ over there. Put that little one over there, because this is my church, and I'm an organ type of person. Well, that's not the way it is. Take your monkey and go home if that's the way it's going to be. But the organ is the organ, because that's the way God's leading him to do the organ. That's not what we're about. Are you with me? It's about not what's bothering us. It's about what's bothering God. Isn't that the truth? So let's focus and major on what's major, and let's minor on what's minor. And you know something? If we're going to be servants of God, the Bible says you want to be great in my kingdom, be a servant. We need servants in the children's area. There's a few of you who need to get over there and start sniffing out some diapers every now and then. We need more servants in the choir, don't we? This choir ought to be about 90 voices. We got plenty of people around here. And you know that you can sing and God bless you. You just not thought it was important enough and worth the effort. Come and see David and say, hey, listen, can I try out for whatever you have to do to become a member of this tribe? Just show up and breathe. He said, show up and breathe. And be a part of serving here. You're missing the greatest blessing of life. And it's an integrity issue. If you're going to come and take, you want to take, you ought to come and give too. Amen. And let's give with good hearts, not with hearts that are so, my church. Let's come with servants' hearts around here. Okay, here's the next one. You got to have involvement. It says, choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to have to be involved in the things that God's involved in. You can't just be dusting off Jesus on a Sunday morning. He's got to be our lives, people. He's got to be the source of our joy. Well, Brother Harry, I would like to come tonight at 5 o'clock, but I can't be here because I have a soccer game. Which is more important? Here's the answer. Ready? Your soccer game. Why? Because you made a commitment to your kids. Fulfill that commitment. Now, I expect while you're there, you're looking to share Jesus with somebody. You don't have to be in here every time the door opens and think you're something spiritual. Although, when the door's open and you're not doing anything, you ought to be here. You ought to be involved. You ought to be serving. But the standard is not how many times I came through the door. The standard is, what are you doing when you walk out that door? That's the standard. We're supposed to be, as we're going, making disciples, people. And I want us to kick it up to another level and learning how to win people to Jesus. How do we become the soul winning type of church? Because you're going to see people saved in this church when you share with them the difference Jesus Christ can make. And they've got to see it in us. Here's the next thing I want you to see. It's inconvenient. Serving the Lord is inconvenient. Serving is inconvenient. Coming tonight at 5 o'clock is inconvenient. Staying until 6:15 to hear me preach again is inconvenient. Coming to a couple's weekend this weekend was inconvenient. Dying on a cross wasn't very convenient for him either, but he what? Did it. Why? Because what's important was worth his effort. It was worth his effort. Here's the next one. There has to be intercession. Matt Miley, you got a kid now. You're going to have to learn how to pray. Now, I'm going to pray just like you guys are going to pray. I pray this way. Oh, Lord, please let Andrew be like Lynette. When Lynette was pregnant, she said, Harry, I'm not worried or anything, but what if it's a boy and he's like you? And I said, I'll give you a scarier thought. What if it's a girl and she's like me? And that's a little scarier thought. Hey, listen, people, you better learn how to pray. Okay, daddies, look at me. When was the last time you circled the wagons at your house and just had a prayer together? When was the last time you said, let's just pray together before we go to bed? And again, I'm not asking you to go home and be spiritually spooky, but I think for some of you, it's time for you to circle the wagons and start learning how to pray with your family. You better learn how to pray. The enemy is playing hardball. You better learn how to pray. Here's the next one, and I don't have much time for this one. You want some hope in your home? You want real hope in your home? All right, here's how to get it. There needs to be intimacy. Now, sorry, guys, I don't have much time for this because we're late. And all the guys said, no, we're not that hungry. Take your time. There's no big deal here. Camp out here a while. All right, you want to have some intimacy? Here's how. What's your wife's greatest need, boy? Tell me. For me to what? Listen to her. You want intimacy? Why don't you sit down about 6:30 or 7 in the morning, look her in the face, and listen. You listen to her, and she'll know you love and care, and her response will be to want to meet your needs. What's your husband's need, lady? Well, stop making him the problem and make him the solution. If you come and say, here's my problem, buddy, you are the solution. You're the one who can meet this need. Every husband will probably want to step to the plate because if we think we're the solution, we want to fix it because we're giving the facts, fixing people, married to thinker, feeler, wanters. Aren't we? Here's the final thing if you want hope. We have forgotten something. You say, what have we forgotten? We're invincible. Hey, people, we win. We win. There's the devil. You lose. We win. I read the story at the end. We win. Why do we go home and act like we're losing? Why do we go to our houses and we live out a life as though we're losing when we've won? We win. Quit acting like you've lost. For all that to happen, for us to be complete and undivided, we're going to need some integrity, aren't we? We're going to need some change. We're going to need to set our hearts to seek the Lord. So how do you have healing in your home? Very quickly, there are several things I want you to see. But number one, if you're going to have some healing in your home, you're going to have a spiritual foundation. And that spiritual foundation is what? Say it. Say it again. That's the only foundation we can build on. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get anything else from me while I'm here as your interim, get this. God sent me here to raise the standard of Christ likeness, and he expects you to come up. And that's the standard. We got to have a spiritual foundation. And daddies, you look at me. It's going to start with you guys. You're going to have to say, I'm going to become like Christ. I'm going to bring God joy. I'm going to bring my wife and kids joy. Ladies, you're going to have to bring God joy. You're going to have to bring your husband and your kids joy. And there's no shortcut. And it's not easy. And it's a lot of work. But what's important is absolutely. Here's the second thing I want you to see. There has to be sacrificial love. There has to be sacrificial love. It's unconditional, uncontrolling, unwavering. I love you. Doing interims is not my thing. I'm not sure what my thing is, as a matter of fact. But I'll tell you one thing. One of the things that's made me really want to stay on here longer than I intended or thought God wanted me to was, I just love y'all. But one of the things that's motivating me is I figured out you love me. And that's what's making this work so far. And now we're all trying to put that together to where we can all learn how to love God and let Him love us. See, that's church, people. Anything else is just a gathering of people who don't agree. We've got to sacrificially love. See, there are irregular people in here. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm regular and none of you are like me. So everybody must be irregular. Our struggle is we haven't learned how to love irregular people. We try to make everybody like us. Well, if everybody in your home is like you, one of you is not necessary. We're going to be different. Here's the next one. You got to see the significance of each person. I said so because I'm the dad. Well, that worked for your dad. It's just not working for our kids today, is it? You know something? We've got to learn how to sit down and listen to our kids. Because they're talking to somebody. It ought to be us. Amen? Here's the next one. Sameness is not an option. I didn't say sameness, because in some of your homes, sameness is not an option. We're not going to be the same. Listen, your pastor, when God sends him here, may not be like Brother Harry. Sameness is not an option. We're not going to be the same. Some of us are Quakers, some of us are Earth Quakers. We're not the same. If you ever want to have healing, I've got to realize the differences between Lynette and I are differences that God has placed in my life because I need her to help me get to Christ-likeness. The differences in my life from her, we have not figured out yet why they're there, but they must be there for some purpose, amen? But, you see, we're not going to be the same, people. But we're going to be a community. We're going to love each other. We're going to be there for each other. We're going to learn each other's names. I thought about putting that TV program up there, the Cheers one. You want to go where people know, where people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. For some of us in our home today, we don't even know the names of our own family the way God knows them. Put the last two up for me. You're going to have to be sensitive. You're going to have to seek help. And because I'm not here during the week, I can't help as much as I'd like to, but I want to tell you, you got staff that would help. Joe, I think you'd step to the plate and help if anybody needed it. I know Larry would. Tim, I know you would. Mike, I knew you'd step to the plate. I know you would, too. But we got folks here that want to help you. And we want to be a church that cares for you. We're going to be people of integrity. For some of you, you need some healing in your home. And tonight, I'll finish this sermon. I'm going to show you how to get it. Because I'm going to show you tonight how to get that loving feeling back. But some of you here this morning, you've got a bad heart. You've never gotten Jesus from here to here. And He wants to come into your life. There are some of y'all, look at me, You've been here 2 years, and you haven't yet joined the church, and you know God says, hey, we ought to be joining this church, and you haven't done it yet. Well, you ought to pray about doing that this morning. It's time for you all to step to the plate and become part of the family. And if God has led you here and you're here, well, why don't you come join this place and be part of this? Because if God's leading you here, it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit or who will be in the pulpit. What matters is God sent you here, and we want you to come and be part of the church. If God's directing you that way, then you need to come. And we want you to come. This morning, our altar, as always, will be open. And if you need to come and kneel here and do business with God, we want you to do that. But more than anything else, people, you hear my heart. We better hear God. And the Bible says, seek him while he may be found. And I want you to know something right now. Are we all in agreement that the last several months we have seen the presence of God here? We better seek him while he can be found. Let's set our hearts on him. Baby, you come. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you're doing in this place, Father. We want to make church and life about you and not about us. Now, Lord, you've already told us in Scripture that the wages of sin is death. And, Father, there are people here today that they know you don't live in their heart. And, Father, there are people here today that are waiting for you to just give them that tug. And so, Father, I pray by your Spirit you would do that right now. And for some of you here today, God's already speaking to your heart. And you know he's already laid it on your heart that you need to come today and give your heart to him. You need to come today and receive him into your life. And if that's you today, you're saying, Harry, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you pray for me? I want you to just lift your hand up high. I want to pray for you. I'm not trying to trick you in any way. Just hold your hand up. I'm going to pray for you before we leave here today. Harry, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Hold your hand up high. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that? Would you be honest? Father, those who lifted their hands, I just pray for them right now. That they would come and find you and seek you. That you would save someone here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together as David leaves us. The altar's open. I invite you to come. So faithful, you're great givers, and I want you to continue to do that. As God has blessed you, I ask you to bless him back and bless us back, that we can be a church that can function the way God intends us to. And so we pray about your giving now. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for our offering. Thank you that these folks know how to give. We honor you and we praise you. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight at 5 o'clock. And then what you're going to do tonight at 6:15. I pray, Lord, that there's not an empty seat in this place tonight. And we're asking your Holy Spirit to show up here again tonight. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said it.
Tuesday the 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the old Memorial Sanctuary on Timberline. So for those of you who want to attend that, that's Tuesday evening the 15th from 7 to 9. I'd like to just take a moment to express my thanks to these five people that are sitting right up here. They get here every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and rehearse, not to mention the stuff we do on Wednesday night in rehearsing. And they go the extra mile to really help us make our worship good. Why don't you give our rhythm section a big hand? Thank you all so much. Chris Sweeten, Kim Sherler, Roy Wood, Gary Carter, Kathy Alexander. Let's stand together. We're going to sing "It's an All Time God." Can y'all clap together? I know we're white people. Most of us, except for Roy back here.
Please.
said.